We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Hey, high five. That was awkward. How many of you missed, just like me and Julie? We missed. Like, that's why we pound nowadays. Somehow it's easier. Like, you can fix it a little bit easier. But we are here today because of God. Isn't that right? But today, my message is called Because of a Mother. Because of a Mother. And if you have your Bibles, awesome on you. Flip with me to John 2. If not, we're going to also put it up here on the screens for you. But I want to bring you back to Jesus' first miracle that was revealed. Okay, this is the first documented miracle of Jesus in which, the Bible says that his glory was revealed. Now, does that mean it was the first thing he had ever done? I doubt it. It means it was the first thing he ever let people know. Because if it was the first thing he had ever done, his mother wouldn't have asked him to do something. I'm going to get there. I'm about to preach. Okay? All right, as long as you're on the same page with me. But we are going to start in chapter 2. Check this out. It says in chapter 2, I guess I'm reading from here today because that's my fault. Tom, is this the week that you told me to be prepared for that? I don't know. Here we go. John chapter 2 says this. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. Have you ever, I read through things, and I don't try and over-preach text. I'm not trying to over-preach text. But what I will tell you is, how many know sometimes the kids get invited to things they don't necessarily want to be at? Because it was interesting how it says that that Jesus' mother was there, comma, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited. But I'm not going to get too far into that. But it's just interesting to the celebration. Verse 3, the wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Right? Now, if Jesus had never done anything ever before this, why would she have tried to bring this to his attention? Okay? How many know that there were some things that probably happened in that house that were a little, hey, I remember those conversations in the manger. Now I see what's going on here. Anyway, let's go back here. They have no more wine. And then Jesus says, dear woman, that's not our problem. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. Now, I don't know, for us in our day, in our generation, it sounds super disrespectful. I don't believe that that was a disrespectful way of saying it in that time, because in fact, she was a woman. Second of all, I think he was trying to stress, this isn't my time yet. He may have also, it's interesting because some of our, the pastor friends that I've been talking with, we've been talking a lot about like, I wonder what Jesus was doing on that day anyway. What kind of person was he? Was he somebody hanging out with his group of disciples because they really didn't want to be there? They were, just kind of watching, eating food, talking it up. What were they? Was he dancing at the wedding? I don't know what Jesus was doing. I like to think Jesus had some moves. I don't know. But what I can tell you is, based on this, it's kind of like he was like, well, that's not really my problem. Maybe he wasn't loving being there. Maybe. I don't know. But he was saying, it's not my time yet. Say that. Not my time yet. He says, my time has not yet come. But look what it says in verse 5. But his mother told the servants. Now, I'm going to get there. I'm ahead of myself, but I'm excited to preach, okay? Now, something happened between verse 4 and verse 5 that we do not know. Something had to have happened between verse 4 and verse 5. How many understand that everything that's happened in the Bible was not, everything that happened in that time was not recorded? How many understand sometimes it says they crossed to the other side? How many know, like, when they got on the boat and crossed the other side, it was hours of stuff we don't know what was said, we don't know what happened, we don't know, but we know they crossed the other side, right? I believe something happened between verse 4 and 5. Moms, So he goes and says, my time has not yet come. And then his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing by nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washings. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. This is interesting. I'm going to pause again because I'm good at pausing. But, you know, part of me thinks, well, maybe she said, do as he says, so you wouldn't question him and mess up the faith I'm working with. How many know God works through faith? How many know Jesus had faith he could do it? How many know the mother clearly had faith that he could do it? You just don't say a word, you do what he says. Not why do you want me to do this? What is this going to do? This seems silly, Jesus. We don't want to be here anyway, Jesus. Just do what you're told. Mama tell you do what you're told, you do what you're told. Not even if it's your mama. Someone else's mama tell you do what you're told, you do what you're told. So anyway, continuing. When the master, and so the servants followed his instructions. Verse 9. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host, and this is quoted, a host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. This wasn't cheap Chianti. You understand what I'm saying? You have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. All right? So this doesn't even mean the people in the wedding knew about it. It meant that those that were supposed to know knew, the miracle was revealed, and they believed. Are you following me? And so it continues, and says that the disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. See, Jesus' first miracle revealed happened because of a mother. Because of a mother. And so as I read this, I'm just like, man, there's so much amazing potential and power that flows from a mother. And now if you're not a mother in this place, you have a mother. You know, if you're going to have kids, your kids are going to have a mother. This, don't just tune out. There are biblical principles in here that you can pull from. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many know moms need some encouragement, though? How many know if we're ever going to give mom encouragement, we should make sure we at least do it on this day? And then you should take this and honor on. Say honor on. Carry on or on, okay? And so check it out. So Jesus' first miracle revealed happened because of, number one, a mother's attention. A mother's attention. Attention to detail. An attention to detail. Moms, they don't miss too much, do they? No? No? You know, a lot of kids think they're getting away with stuff. Mom knows. She just knows if she doesn't give you grace, she's going to kill you. So she's just not going there right now. Rather than fighting you, she's fighting on her knees, praying for you, so that you don't end up quite as, I'm going to let go. You know, moms, they don't miss too much. They're great on detail. And Mary's detail, her attention to detail, was what ended up helping trigger this whole thing in motion. Isn't that right? Like eyes in the back of their head, mom knows. And I try and tell my kids that when my mom, when Julie's not around, I said, you got to be careful, girls. You know, you think you're quick. You think you know how to get things done, but mom knows. And their eyes get big. And I was like, yeah, you know that thing you don't think she knows about? They're like, I'm like, she knows. She's got eyes in the back of her head. Anyway. they not only know a lot of stuff, but they know how to fix a lot of things, don't they? Because the thing is, even if they don't know how to fix it, they know who can fix it. And then they're going to go persuade that person to fix it. Anyone been in one of those situations where, you know, a relationship needs to get fixed and your mother's like, oh, you're going to go fix that. And you're like, it wasn't even my fault. You're going to fix it. Fix it, Felix. And so the point is, man, moms, they have an amazing attention to detail. In verse 3, the wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. She knew what was going on. And how many know that she had the 411 on what was happening at that wedding that day? And how many know no mother in her right mind ever wants to see a reception go south? Well, if that's my baby girl, if that's my baby, if this, I don't want to see this reception go bad. This is a wedding. It should be beautiful. They should not run out of wine. And so her attention to detail, she knew what was going on. But why else? Ask your neighbor, why else? Why did Jesus' first miracle revealed happen? It happened because of, number two, a mother's encouragement. A mother's encouragement. This is crazy. As you read this, Jesus is like, it's not my time. It's not my time yet. How many understand? I just told you this, that we don't always see everything. It's not always, not every sentence, not every word, not every happening was recorded in the Bible. We have what it takes to have the big takeaways to live our life. Because if God made the Bible any bigger, it would be more daunting and you'd probably open it less. He had to minimize what he had to put in there. It had to be in there so that we could live our life. But how many understand? Not everything was said. So like I gave you the example, we're crossing over there. They did this, but they said we're going here. They didn't say what happened on the way here. So what I would like to say is I believe something happened between verse 4 and verse 5. Life experience tells me something probably occurred between verses 4 and verse 5, right? Anybody with me? It definitely wasn't written and it couldn't have, and you know what I was thinking too, as I read this, I'm like, it could have not even been anything spoken. Moms know how to get their point across without words. That look, that whip that look at you. You know, and so what's interesting is when you read between these scriptures, Jesus says, you know, that's not our problem. It's not my time yet. And all of a sudden, she. Not my time yet, huh? You guys do whatever he tells you to do. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. You understand? Life experience tells me something probably occurred. And this will be one of the questions I have when I get to heaven. I'm going to go find Mary and say, what happened? You got to tell me. What did you say? Was it said or was it unspoken? It was probably unspoken, wasn't it? It was just a look. He knew that look ever since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. Even though he was a perfect kid, I know ain't nobody else had a perfect kid before, but he knows that look. How many know you can be angry and not sin? People think that Jesus didn't deal with emotions that we dealt with. But how many know the Bible says you can be angry and not sin? So there had to have been times where Jesus felt things at a young age where Mama Mary, do you need me to go to your father? I'm going to let it go. I'll just keep going. But how many have ever been on the other end of a mama told you so kind of look? Ever been on the other end of one of those? You know what I'm talking about. Something happened here, which, you know, I'm going to even talk. I'm going to dive more into it later. But there was encouragement. Wow, what the encouragement from a mother can do. What the encouragement from a mother can do. And you know what? How many, I mean, you felt defeated before, you felt hurt before, but it was your mother who hugged you and told you that you were going to get through it. You know, it was your mother that told you, hey, the sun's going to shine again tomorrow. It was your mother that told you someone more trustworthy is going to be coming along later. Don't worry about that guy. Don't worry about that thing. It's your mother's encouragement that helped get you through so many hard times. And you know what? If you say, you know, Chad, I never had that from a mother, then why don't you break that? Why don't you be the mother that you wish you had for your mother? I mean, for your children. How many know? You know, we don't just become victims. You can't be a victor and a victim at the same time. We talked about this last week. If you want to be a victor, if you want to be a conqueror, then you've got to be able to overcome your past. And so choose not to let your kids be the next victim because you didn't know how to be a victor. Somebody had to hear that. But I'm telling you, a mother's encouragement can and most likely has changed everything for you. And so what else? Because as I think of this miracle, it didn't even have to happen. It wasn't going to happen. But a mother decided to start talking to her son. Anybody following me? Number three, how, you know, because of a mother, let me go back because there's that fun little line that I'm supposed to say before every single point for you. Jesus' first miracle revealed happened because of, number three, a mother's direction. A mother's direction. I'm sorry, I don't know why we don't have points on the screen, but I'll say it again. If you need something, just say, what was number two? And I'll fill you in. Number three, a mother's direction. And it says in verse 5, but his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. How many have ever been to, it's not hard for me to kind of remember back being at a friend's house where my friend and his mother get into a fight and it gets heated, anybody? And you're just like, you try and become a chameleon and camouflage yourself at the wall. You know, you like try and find like the closest plant to hide behind you. You know what I mean? And as you're trying to slip away, she whips the eye at you too. And you're like, I didn't do it. It wasn't me, you know. But all of a sudden you're like, yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. Whatever. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. All of a sudden you're in it too. You don't know how you got there, but you're in it too. Anybody ever felt that situation? Oh, man. All of a sudden, a mother's direction, it's not even your mother, but you fall in directions. I'm telling you. I feel like the disciples were like that. Yep, uh-huh, whatever he says, we're going to do it. As she walked by and said, you do whatever he tells you to do. Yep, mm-hmm. Okay, whatever he says, we got it. We're going to take care of it. Whatever he says, you get that? I'm not going to talk to her about it. If Jesus isn't going to correct her, I ain't correcting her. Whatever he says, we're going to do. All right, I'm going to do it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It was a mother's direction. And I wonder if she knew. You know, I started to talk about this a little bit before. She had to have known that he could do it. He had to have done something to prove to her that he could do it. How would you present faith if you didn't have a mustard seed? How would you present or stir any form of faith if you hadn't seen anything? See, Jesus first created the foundations of earth. He literally made us out of dust. He breathed life into us. He gave us the ability to take dominion. We fell and he continued to chase after us. He showed us time and time again how much he loves us. He continues to give us reason to have faith. Amen? So she had to have had a reason to have faith in the moment. Are you following me? I'm not trying to reach here. I'm just trying to say that she wouldn't have brought it up if Jesus, she didn't know Jesus could do something about it then. Everyone with me on this? Okay? So, I have faith for this. She must have been thinking, I have faith for this because I've seen it. I know he has faith for it and he knows he can do it. But this crew, you know, it pans over like the movie and you've got like the scratching the bum. Eh. You know, like this, these guys, they were sailors. They were all sorts of people, you know. And she's like, but these guys, I don't, they're going to mess it all up. So she had to come over after letting Jesus know. She had to come over here and give some direction. Now you listen to me. I got faith for this. He knows he can do this, but you don't mess this up. And they're like, where's the plant? I just got to get out of here. So it was a mother's direction that helped make this happen. Could you imagine if all of them were like, this is stupid, Jesus. Why are we filling water into these? What did your mom think is going to come out of this? It says that when he was in Nazareth, he could do very little miracles there. He healed just a few, but it was only because why? No one had faith. So I believe she had enough wisdom to make sure they couldn't screw it up. How many know a mother has some wisdom? Mothers say amen. Everyone else just knows. So that she didn't want him to interfere. So number three, it was a mother's direction. Number four, you know, how else did it happen? It was based on number four. These go hand in hand, a mother's faith. It was a mother's faith. Mary wouldn't have had directed the disciples if she did not have the faith that Jesus could move on her behalf, right? You may be a mama in the house that is thinking, Pastor Chad, it would be easy to have faith in your son if your son was the Messiah. You don't know my child. Having faith in my child comes a little bit more difficult. Having faith, you know, I'm telling you, it's not easy to raise your child, but I'm sure it also wasn't very easy to raise the Messiah who already knew everything. You think like, man, my 10-year-old's going on 18. She knows everything. Like, no, Jesus, like, literally knew everything. I got it, Mom. Like, no, I haven't even taught you. I got it, Mom. But I just wanted to, I got it, Mom. I know from the beginning. I was the Word, remember? I'm sure he wasn't haughty. I'm sure he wasn't prideful. You understand what I'm saying, though? But that had to have presented its own difficulties in raising the Messiah. Okay, so anyway, she had faith that her son could do it. You know what? But let's think why she had faith in her son. It was following her instruction. She had faith that her son would do it because of the idea of following her instruction. She knew that he knew how to read Hebrews. She knew that he knew how to read Hebrew. What does that mean? He knew what the Word of God said. He was the Word. She knew that he knew. He knew the Old Testament. He knew what Proverbs said. He knew all the scriptures about honoring your parents and following their instructions. Anybody? She knew that he knew. Proverbs 6:20. My son, obey your father's commands, the Word says, and don't neglect your mother's instruction, the Word says. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. You know what? Can I talk to young people for just a little minute? Just a short minute. The fact is, you know, we think as we're young that we know things that we don't know. We think we know more than we actually know. And so when you choose to stop listening to your parents' instruction, that lamp that they are, that light that they are, dwindles because you don't open up the door for instruction. And then you kind of create your own future, which is much darker than would have been if you had just listened to your parents. Amen, parents? I got one person that was like, I needed my child to hear that. I needed my child to hear that. The Bible says, don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. See, she knew that Jesus, not only was he the Word, he was held to his own word. Are you following me? And honoring his mother that day was part of following his word. See, what I love is when I get God in a situation, I don't entrap him, I don't try, but when my prayer is going directly with his word, I know that I'm going to win. Not because I prayed fervently more, or more fervently today than I did yesterday, just because I know he's held to his own word. And if I know his word well enough, and I know how, you know, people say, well, if it's God's will, know his will, pray his will, and stand firm with your faith. God, your word says, and because it says, I can pray and add faith to it, and I know it'll happen, whether it happens today or not, it's going to happen because it's your word and you're held to your word. Amen? Amen. Whew. You guys okay? You know, you're normally a little bit quicker to the punch of the 922. All right. Somebody got that word. So Jesus, he was held to his own word in honoring his mother that day. Maybe what happened, can I go back to that thing that maybe happened that was unsaid? Maybe it was said. What happened between verse 4 and 5? Because those are the things that get me like, man, Jesus said, it's not my time yet. And then he turns around and does it. What happened? Maybe she, as she walked over to him, gave him one of those motherly hugs. Not your time yet. Proverbs 6. 6. Proverbs. Do whatever he tells you to do. You follow his instructions. Walks behind him. Proverbs 6. He's held to his word. He's held to his own word. And so I don't know what happened, but I know that it was not his time, he said. It had not yet come. If not for Mary the mother, would Jesus' first miracle revealed or documented have happened that day? No, because Jesus tells us that plainly. Verse 4, Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. What does that mean? That's not vague. Today's not the day, Ma. Like, no fireworks today. Remember? This is your thing. Who knows if you even want to be there? I don't know. But the point is, it was not his time yet. What an amazing thought. Take this down, mothers. Take this down. Listen to this. A mother changed God's timeline. And people say, no, that's what the Bible just told me. A mother accelerated God's timeline. What? Well, God, no, Chad, that doesn't work with my theology because God, no, I'm not saying God didn't know it was going to happen, but God wasn't going to do it if mom hadn't done this because God works off of faith. So if mom hadn't done this, that time wouldn't have come right now. Anybody understand that? It's not that God didn't know. It's that if she hadn't done her part, it wasn't happening that day. A mother changed God's timeline. Wah! A mother's heart moved Jesus to action. And still to this day, a mother's heart can move God to act. A heart full of faith will move God. Are you hearing me? Don't tell me the faithful prayers of a mother don't still set into motion God's hand and accelerate things for their kids. It can be anything, but man, I'll tell you, if it weren't for the prayers of my mother, some young people, they know you were teetering. You had moments. Some not so young people know I had moments, you know, but what I'll tell you is it's the prayers of a mother. It's the heart of a mother. We literally see Mary, the mother of Jesus, accelerate God's timeline. That should get someone excited. That should get you even more hopped than espresso, a double espresso, an Americano with less water. It should get you more up and excited. I don't know what excites you, but as a mother, knowing that it was a mother's heart and a mother's faith that accelerated God's plan. Man, what are you praying for? And are you praying enough? And are you stirring enough? Are you expecting enough? Are your prayers big enough? Why don't you pray for bigger prayers? That doesn't just mean women and mothers. We need to understand that it's faith that moved God that day. You need to pray. You need to pray for bigger prayers. You need to dream bigger dreams. If your dreams don't scare you, then they're not big enough. If your dreams don't need God's help, then they're not God's dreams for you. They're not God's plans for you. Because God never intended you to be able to do what you needed to do without him. And can I just speak for a moment about seasons? Some people, they act like God has told them it was okay to tag out and just sit on the bench and ride the bench for a few years. God's going to hold you accountable for every day you waste. I'm talking to you. If you feel like I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. God has purpose in your lungs. Stop making excuses. Today is not a day for excuses. Amen. God has called us for greatness. He's called you for greatness. Stir it up inside you, the gift that God's given you. Don't bury it because he will hold you accountable for it. Amen. Okay. Whew, back to mother's change timeline. Whew. I feel better though. I'll sleep better because I told you that. Don't tell me the faithful prayers of a mother don't still set into motion God's hand and accelerate things for their kids. Mama, mama, mama. Mothers, don't stop praying for what you have not yet seen. Don't stop praying for your babies that are lost. Don't stop praying for your children's friends, for your friends are rubbing off on them. Don't stop praying for your children's future. Keep on watching. Keep on encouraging. Keep on directing. Keep on stirring up faith because it is in you. You have the ability to tell the devil to flee in the name of Jesus and he will flee. Why don't you protect your kids more with more prayer? Why don't you do more? You have the ability to do amazing things. The first documented miracle came off the back of a mother. Come on, rock it like a mother. Isn't that what that bag said? Rock it like a mother. Come on. I don't think you were ready for what I was going to preach this morning. Because if you will just keep on, if you will keep on watching, remember it was her attention to detail. If you will keep on encouraging, if you will keep on directing your children, if you will keep on directing, if you will keep on stirring up your faith that God didn't create a failure in your womb. In fact, he breathed purpose. He knit together purpose in your womb. Do not give up on those ones. You keep stirring it up. If you can have a little bit of faith, God knows what he created your child for, and God will still move in your child. Amen? God can still, how many know God is pretty good at resurrecting dead things? Come on. Come on. It says here, James 5:16 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. A righteous person honors their parents because they do right. They're not righteous because of their deeds, but because Jesus has made them right, they live according to Jesus' word. Not perfectly, but they walk it out. Right? And so what does it tell me about honoring the parents? Look what it says here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Parents say, obey me because I'm your parent. Actually, you'd go further if you say, obey me because you belong to the Lord. The Lord's authority will always be better than our earthly authority. Because how many know everyone has had a hypocritical moment in their life? It's hard sometimes for kids to back something that maybe they haven't always seen be exactly right. But man, if I can tell my kids, you will respect our authority, not because we love you, we do love you, not just because we're your parents, but actually because you're the Lord's. And God has said, this is how it is to be. Amen. But let's continue. What else does it say? For this is the right thing to do. Look what it says in verse 2 in Ephesians 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. This is a first commandment with a promise. What is the promise? If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. There's nothing worse than having a long life on the earth that's not blessed. You know, you think of people that you just go, man, they've had a really hard go of it. They've had a really, I'm just saying, God has called us to do what we can do. You say, my parents don't deserve honor. What I'll tell you is God has told you because I'm the Lord, not because your parents deserve it. Because I have set in motion these things. And you know what? You've got to be the bigger person sometimes as the child. Sometimes we have seen in life, sometimes children have to be the parents. We do it not based on earthly authority. We do it because we are the Lord's. Amen? You may be here today, and today isn't a great day for you. Maybe you didn't get the blessing to grow up with a mother or one whom loved you in the way you felt they should have. Can I give you a verse that will free you today? As the team comes back or whoever's playing the keys, but listen to me. This is what Psalms 27:10 says. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. You say, I haven't had a good mother. Well, then you have the best coming to your aid. You have the one that intended your parents to act differently because they didn't. They literally, the word tells me in Psalms 27:10, then the Lord will take care of you. That's what helps you stop living that victim mentality. And you start going, okay, well then God, if I get you fully in my corner because I didn't have what you expected me to have on the earth or what you intended for me to have on this earth, then that means I actually get a foot up because everything is based on you now. I can't cross lines. I can't blur lines. God, you are going to take care of me. Amen? Come on, we got to stop living victims. Let's live the victor that God called us. Today, for everyone that is in this place, God wants to make sure you know how much he loves you. He wants to make sure you know that he knows the hand of cards you were dealt. He knows the things that you've been up against. But the fact is, even though he knew it was going to happen, he never expected it to overtake you. Because you are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. But can I tell you why you're an overcomer? It's not just because he breathed life into you. It's not just because he knit you together in your mother's womb. It's not just because he intended you for greatness. You're an overcomer because you're first a come underer. The only reason we overcome is because we first come under. Jesus' arms are open. And when we come to the Father and we come under his authority, he says, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose will be loosed. Your overcoming power is only because you come under Jesus Christ. Do you hear me today? The ability for you to live that victorious life, the ability for you to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath, the ability for you to live the thing God has called you to live, it's not because of you, it's because of where you locate yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. Jesus, he's ready for you to come home. Maybe you've been there before and you've walked away and you know you are no longer under the influence of Christ, that you are no longer under his authority, that you are no longer under his loving arms. Can I tell you, today is the day where you make the choice to be an overcomer because you're coming under Jesus Christ. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Chad, I need to come under those loving arms. I don't want religion. I want relationship. I want all that Jesus intended. And I plan on today coming under his arms of love. I plan on today coming back into his family. Maybe this is the first time you've heard this. I'll tell you, we don't deserve anything more than you do. And if you're in this place and you want it, then it's God's gift to you as well. Not just adoption, but being grafted into his family, being called an heir, being called a son and daughter of the King. It is for you as well, because that is what's so crazy about grace.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.